I was following Grant up the aisle, and there was about six or seven in lines telling what a good job he had done. Rightly so. The lady right in front of me was my wife. She never said anything like that to me. And the other five in front of her didn't say anything. And I told Grant, I said, Grant, you're not supposed to show the old man up. And I think he went over the board this morning. I think he did. But we appreciate him. I was just looking at him. I wish I was handsome as he was, as young as he was, and had the education that he does. And but I don't have any of that. So Doug called me this morning and said he was sick. And the elders have got a policy that we don't try to call and get nobody at the last moment. And Doug and Debbie's going to be gone next week, too. So I got to get somebody next Sunday. I got PAX next Sunday morning now. It was between Scott and Larry next Sunday night, and I got out both of them. They're supposed to get back to me. And then I forgot about tonight. So after the service, I'm going to see if the elders want to move the song service up tonight. If they do, we will. If they don't, then you're going to have to listen to me again. I'm sorry, because I don't have nobody lined up tonight. It's hard to get somebody when the preacher calls at 6:30 in the morning time, somebody to preach, and so we're just not going to do that. I always have about two or three lessons on my flash drive that I can do. Lucky this time I still have an introductory. Last time, Wednesday night, when I got done, Cindy said, did you make it through your introduction? I said, no, that's the third lesson. I said, we're just going to forget it. We're incorporated in the lesson as we go along. I'm going to let Grant start off Sunday with it. And then when Doug called his mom, I thought, well, I'll just finish my introduction. I still got about 10 slides. I can't get through 10 slides, 15 minutes. So we'll get where we're at and let it go. Grant needs to apologize to me. If anybody that is indebted to anybody, he's indebted to me. I'm one of two men that took the gospel to his father-in-law. And as we was coming back, we got the word that he was dying. We found him in bed at his house. Doug said, boy, I'm thirsty and I'm hungry, but I didn't want to eat anything. I was going to drink something. It was about 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I told Doug, I said, 9:30 this morning, I didn't think we was going to make it. But about 2 o'clock, he said, I'm ready. Go be baptized for the remission of my sins. So we took him to the Russellville congregation. We was going to go here. I knew Keith, one of the elders out there, and Doug did too. And we called Keith, and the preacher happened to be there. And Grant's father-in-law was a big man. It took all three of us to do it. The preacher there at Russellville and me and Doug. But we got it done. Later that week, about midweek, I think it was, we got the call that he died. We was going to go back down there that weekend. So you're talking about making it underneath the water. They just made it underneath the water. But from talking to him and seeing how he responds to the gospel, I am thoroughly convinced that he's in Abraham's bosom waiting for the judgment day. I'm just so happy that we got up that morning and decided to go and take the gospel to him. I thought about telling this story, and I thought, well, Courtney won't make it through it if I did. And it looked like I'm the one that's not going to make it through it. But we're delighted for your presence. Doug's got a right to get sick just the same as anybody else. Doug and Debbie's going to be gone next weekend. And by the way, if you didn't understand about the commercial, about the announcement, about the, there'll be two Sundays from now, it'll be the our New Year's party at my house, and we generally have a fish fry. We haven't had fish fry yet, but we'll have it that night. Gordon's going to cook it that afternoon. So a Sunday afternoon, not this Sunday, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday, everybody come to my house for potluck. Don't bring no fish. We got more fish than we'll ever use, thanks to Sandy and Junior. But and we'll stay until time to go to bed. Time to go to bed, you're going to have to go home. But we'll just eat and have a good time, bring the New Year's in, right, if we're still up by then. If we're not, we're not. We're studying, as you most, about half of you know, in the auditorium class, we're studying Philippians, Grant and I. And we're in our fourth class. I have, the reason I went ahead and done this, I already had it on the projector or on the computer, so I said, well, I'll just go ahead and get as far as I can. Philippians, we're talking about God's grace and should be defined as his provision for us. And we brought this out, Grant and I both have, at the point of our needs. In other words, God takes care of his people and we are his people. The problem is that sometimes it doesn't seem as if the Lord truly is meeting our needs, but he is and he will. He has met our needs. But a lot of time we look at him and like, well, he frequently deficiency or all outcome and complicated that we don't know about what God is doing. God knows it all. God knows everything. And his goal is for us to be involved spiritually growth. Sometimes we get off the track and we think about the spiritual aspect of life. But that's what God looks at us. When he looks at Charlie, he looks at the spiritual growth of Charlie, the development of a Christ-like mind, character. And the book of Philippians really brings this out. And the strong faith. Trials play a vital role in achieving these. Sometimes we get burdened down with our trials, and we let them overcome them. But the important issue is how we respond to these trials and errors as they come about in our life. And we will have them in our life. The Apostle Paul had them. We could descend into anger and doubt. And that's when we let the physical man get in front of the spiritual man, and we should not. But it is our desire to become the person of God wants us to be. He wants us to be spiritual minded. He wants Charlie to be a spiritual person. We see each trial as an opportunity for Christ to display his character and to strengthen us. And that's the way we need to look at trials and tribulations in our lives. And that's the point that Philippians tries to get across. God has provided with us many things to enjoy. Just count your blessing. We sang the song a lot of times, count your blessing. But too often our lives are filled with turmoil instead of contentment. And that's our fault. That's not God's fault. Here's one of a few things that create dysfunction in our lives, and I want to share them with you if I can. Busy. A lot of times we're just too busy in life. We live in a hurry-up society. We dash from one activity to another. Jesus never did rush any place, but we do. We are burdened down because we're so busy. The kids got to be here to go to that, and I got to go down to the office for that and something, and we're just so busy don't have time to share the gospel with anybody because I'm too busy making a living. Yet he accomplished what God, Jesus wasn't busy, but he accomplished what God wanted him to do. No wonder we miss the enjoyment of life because we can be too busy and go right over the enjoyment of life. Like what? Like our family. I sit here and look at the Harpers, and you know, the beautiful family. Don't get too busy that you don't enjoy each other. Earthly outlook. That's what society does to us. It makes us look on the earthly outlook. Well, the Joneses have this. Sorry, Jones. The Joneses have this, and I got to have that. You know, I got to keep up the Joneses, you know. Too often we have focus on our circumstances. Our mind thinks about what happened earlier in the week and what's on today's agenda. What I have to get done today. Nothing on there for about Jesus. Nothing on there about God. Nothing on there about the church. The solution to have an eternal outlook, that's the way God looks at us. That's the reason He's blessed us like He has. We need to have an eternal outlook, which acknowledges that God is in charge of our goal, and it is our goal to please Him. We have to do it, friends. I'm standing for you and sharing God's Word with you. We need to be pleasing to Him. I'm sharing a few things that we can get. So here's one thing that gets me. Self-imposed pleasure. Boy, I've been guilty of this. We have all experienced the unavoidable burden of schoolwork and employment and relationship. You know, when I retired 11 years ago from the office, I, on a Friday, was writing out 18 payroll checks per Friday. That's a lot. If you wrote them out, you had to make sure you had the money in the bank. We, a lot of times, bring needless pressure on ourselves when we allow uncertain musts to rule our life. It's not a must in our life that we should let it rule our life like that. The remedy is to turn to God, acknowledge His right to order our day, and ask Him for His plan for me during that day. Not for me to be so self-centered in society. It's what Charlie thinks and what Charlie wants. And it's not all about Charlie. It's about God. And Philippians brings this out in his book over and over and over. Unhealthy attitude. We definitely can have an unhealthy attitude. When we behave as though we are faultless, indifferent, and unfeeling, all undermines our enjoyment of life. We can't do this, people. It's the wrong attitude to have. I'm guilty of that. I have been guilty of that. I'm trying to work on it. Satisfaction is found in a life that reflects God's priority. My friends, if I didn't know anything else to tell you, then I wouldn't tell you. But that's the most important thing there is. And have God first priority in your life. The book of Philippians brings that out. Priority. And time with Him comes first. I've heard people say, well, I've been so busy, I didn't have time for my family. Well, you're going to lose your family if you do that. If you treat God that way, you're going to lose God. We take time for family, we take time for God. Reading His Word, we become mindful of the Father's great love. I don't know what we could do in the daytime any more than sit down and read His Word. The Father's great mindful of the Father's great love for us, and learn what He views as important, and experience the joy of developing in Him. Sometimes we need to examine our priorities in life. That sounds simple to talk about, doesn't it? It's something that we all can do. I had to work on being an alcoholic, a workaholic. When I was working, I didn't have a problem with alcohol, but I did have a problem with working. I could stay at the office morning through night, and I thought, no, I need to get out of here. I still probably work too much, but I told Cindy the other day, my health is taking care of that. It's making me cut back, and I am cutting back. God's condition for His full blessings. I showed you some of the things that God expects us to then not do it. But the Lord wants us to give each of us an abundance of blessing. God wants to do that. I don't care who you are. God wants to bless you. Let's look at what is required so that we might enjoy all that He has planned for us in life. You said, well, Charlie, why don't you tell us what God has planned? That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm here this morning. One necessary condition for receiving His best is full surrender. I surrender all. Sometimes we sing that song, we have no idea what we're singing. Every aspect of our being, body and soul and spirit, is to be a living sacrifice for Him. If I knew a better advice to tell you people this morning, I would share it with you, but I don't. I don't know. I'll tell you what I'm working on so that we both can work on it. True freedom is found only when we fully yield to Christ. That's what I have to do, and that's what you have to do. Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. We have to be conscious of the fact and work with that. That's striving to not do that. But be transformed to the renewing of our mind that you may prove what is good and simple and perfect will of God. How we do that? Keep our nose in the inspired word. Go home this afternoon and read the Bible. If I knew another way, I tell you, if I knew an easier way, I'm all for doing things the easy way. What does a surrender life entail? Most important, it involves a complete commitment to Christ. We just can't half-heartedly devote ourselves to Christ. Out of love and gratitude, every aspect of our life should be dedicated to Him. We should be thankful to Him for what He has done to us and what we can do for Him. The world influence are no longer a driving force. And this is something I have to work with, something that you have to work with, something that every young person in this auditorium has to work with, not to be influenced by worldly influence. Because most of the time it's Satan that's governing the world. His Spirit guides us through His Word. And His will is the goal. Yielding to Him means following His way in attitude, words, thoughts, and deeds. All to Jesus I surrender. We have a choice. We can either be content with less than God's best, or we can give ourselves fully to Him. Completely surrender is not an easy road. It's not hard. It's not easy to do that. I'm not telling you some easy ways that you can do and that you will not stumble in doing it. It means dying to our desire and selfishness. I have desires. I have selfishness. But remember that the Lord is willing and able to do more than we can ever imagine for Him to do for us. And the God I serve will do that. When a person commits to doing the Lord's will, then every situation and decision is viewed through the standard of God said it, so I'm going to do it. And that's the end of it. I don't have to look no farther. I don't have to go no. I don't have to ask somebody's opinion about that. God said it, we're going to do it. We may complain, we might weep, or try to argue, but in the end, we will be obedient no matter what. We need to get that out of the book of Philippians. That's what the Apostle Paul and Timothy did, and that's what we need to do. And that's the reason we're studying it here at Southside. The Lord certainly understands our need to question and cry out and petition Him for the strength to do what He has. He expects us to do that. There's nothing wrong with us getting down to our knees and saying, Lord, would you give me the strength to do that? Have you ever done that? Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 15, tells us that we have a high priest who can sympathize with us. Jesus was not excited or happy about the cross. He grieved over the coming and separation from His Father. Nevertheless, He committed to following God's will. I'm not sitting here trying to feed you a line and tell you that everything that God wants you to do this morning is going to be easy to swallow. It's not going to be. There's going to be some dark days, going to be some hard days, and I'm sorry, that's what life is. I'm older than most people in this auditorium, so I've lived and experienced it. And I'm still experiencing it. There's so much more I need to learn. He who committed to follow God's will, Matthew 26:39, no one took Christ's life from him. He laid it down. That's what we got to do. We got to lay our life down for Christ. Our lives are about fulfilling God's purpose. That's the reason we're here on this earth. Many people miss His awesome plan for them because they choose to follow their preference. Oh, I'd rather do it this way. I want to do it this way. I just heard about a band in the church. It says, well, we can play and worship God with rock and roll music and be acceptable to. Wrong. You can't do that either. Nowhere in the Bible that says that you can do that. Obedience is sometimes hard, but the struggle and the sacrifice are worth it. There is joy and peace for the believer who pleases the Lord and lives by His principles or His law. It's the best life that I know. If it wasn't, I'd tell you. I don't know a better life than serving God. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years now, when I'm not here on this earth anymore, I want you to remember that. Brother Clark told me to serve the Lord. You know where Brother Clark got that? From the Bible. Yep. That's what it teaches. God sees our sacrifice and is pleased. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter, that let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, and even the death of the cross. That is to be Christ-like. If I knew a better way, Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whenever you see that and do that, and as we mentioned in Philippians, if you don't get anything out of Philippians, but get this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what Grant and I want to teach in the book of Philippians. I'm going to try to keep up with him. He's awful young, got a lot of energy, got a good-looking wife behind him. I do too. Human strength alone cannot surmount to the difficulty that one may encounter in life pathways. I want you to remember that too. Remember Brother Clark didn't tell me that life would be rosy. He told me there'd be some hard times. Maybe that's one of the times he's talking about. It could be. You can make it through it. Paul look at it this way. He explains that he does the things of his experience through Christ which strengthen him. As we serve Christ, we need to do that with the idea. The secret of living in the midst of life difficulty. I'm giving this to you right now. This is not from Charles Clark. This is from God Almighty. The secret of living in the midst of a life difficulty is simply trusting God in such a way that one can say, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Thank you. That's what I come to say this morning. I'm done. I know you find that hard to believe, but I'm done. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song.